All right, we'll say good morning. Let us begin. Let's start first by thanking our sponsors for today's share, by thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, Sammy and Malka Esterson, for dedicating all of the Shi'urim and Drushos this month in memory of their parents, Yitzchok Leib Ben Aaron HaKohen, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram, and Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah and the family a Nechama. We also thank our Daf Yomi sponsors in the Schuss of Refua Shalema for Ruchama Aviva Bas Shein Nechana, and for Rachel Yehudis Bas Tova Gittel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Shbaruch will send a Refua to Kol Cholei Yisrael. And above say, with that, let us begin. We have a beautiful, beautiful Daf ahead of us today. A lot of exciting halachas, Hilchos Pesach, even a sprinkle of Agadata. So let's begin. Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Excellence. We'll say a lot to do today. Today's daf is daf. Hey, we are picking up on Dalid Amud Beis at the two dots, right across from Tosis Midoraisa. So, Boilu, we got into the, remember again yesterday, we solidified a couple of very important facts. Namely, again, that a Jewish home has a cheskas baduk, right? The Jewish home ultimately, again, is established as being checked already again on Erev Pesach. Then, halacha lemaaseh, in a rental situation, whoever has the keys, as of the 14th in the evening, ultimately, again, has the achrayus to go ahead and do the bedikah. So continuing along in those themes, or in that theme, Marzi Boilu, very interesting idea. Hamaskir Bayis Lachavero Becheskas Bodek. Rabos, listen to this case. I rent my home to Ruvain. Now again, Rabos, based on what we said, if I, right, I'm an observant Jew, so I go ahead and I rent my house to Ruvain. And Rabos, the assumption over here, Ruvain is getting the keys, let's call it on the 14th in the morning. Therefore, again, Ruvain has every right to go ahead and assume that what? The home is baduk, right? The home is checked for chametz. So maskir b'ayis chaver becheskas baduk. So I rent a home to Ruvain, and of course, again, as we established, the chazoka is that it was checked for chametz. And what happens? Umasal she'ena baduk. So we'll say what happens. So Ruvain comes in the morning of the 14th, expecting to find a fully ready for Pesach home, and it turns out there's a dozen bagels on the counter, right? So we'll say, so what's the halacha on such a situation? Now, we'll say, now what are we asking about? What are we asking about over here? Matzal baduk mi mau. Mihavi kemekach taos olo. So we'll say, one of the most interesting aspects in Choshen Mishpat is the concept of mekach taos, the idea of invalidating or voiding a sale, or avoiding a transaction. That halacha lemaisa, when something happens that is so against my expectations, that it undermines the validity of the transaction. So if I have, I'm renting a house for Pesach. It's a vacation rental. I'm going away. Or in this case, Ruvain's going away. Ruvain walks in the morning of the 14th expecting a home that is ready for Pesach. And what does he find? He finds chametz there. So we'll say, so the shaila is that called a mekach taos? Does Ruvain have the ability to call me up and say, listen, transaction is voided, right? I got something. In other words, you didn't provide me with that which you promised to provide me with. You promised to provide me ultimately again with a rental that was bought, because that's the chazaka. The chazaka is the presumption is that a Jewish home is ready for Pesach. So can Ruvain void the sale, or Ruvain void the transaction based on finding chametz? So Tashma, Damra Abaye, so this is fascinating. Lo mi boi ba'asra de lo yoivi agra ubatku. So we'll listen to this. Abai said, apparently, historically, there were different types of practices. In some communities, it was the practice that you would clean your house yourself for Pesach. You would clean yourself. So we'll say, in a locale where it's common for people to clean their own homes, so it goes without saying that when Ruvain finds the home unchecked for Pesach, he can't claim mekach tos. Why can't he claim mekach tos? Because Rabbi said, listen to what I could do. I could always turn around and say to Ruvain, mekach tos, just the opposite. You should thank me. Why should you thank me? I'm giving you the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu. Right? I'm giving you the opportunity to go ahead and clean out the chametz. So we'll say, in a locale where people normally clean themselves, as a person prefers to be able to go ahead and perform a mitzvah, ultimately themselves. So in a locale where it's common that everyone cleans their own home, so Ruvain can't claim mekach tos, because at the end of the day, all kidding aside, he's been given an opportunity to perform the mitzvah himself. Granted, he wasn't expecting to do it, right? Really, again, I should have delivered a home that was baduk, But at the end of the day, he has an opportunity. Look at Rashi Bosai. Lo mi by Hecha Dilo Yahavi Agra. Rashi says Lachirim Ubatki Ela Kol Ish Vi Ish Bodik Es Beso. In a locale, everybody cleans their own home for Pesach. Dilo Matzin Meimar Lei Mekach Tosu Demayisi Odeshin Abatuk Lo Yisi Sochra. Bosai, listen to this. What does Mekach Tos mean? Mekach Tos means where I could claim, had I known this piece of information, right? Had I known the information that I have now at the time of the transaction, I would have never entered into the transaction. So I'll say, in a locale where everyone cleans their own home for Pesach, halacha lemaaseh, you can't claim mekach tos, because everybody's cleaning their own house anyway. So it's true. Are you inconvenienced by this fact? Absolutely. But to claim that had you known that you would have had to clean the house for Pesach, you would not have engaged in the rental, that doesn't hold water in a place where everybody holds, where everybody cleans their own home. But I say something amazing. Elafilu, ba'asu diavi agrabadka. I both say, but listen to this. But even in a place where people don't normally go ahead and clean their own homes, but what? They have a guy, right? They hire someone to go ahead and clean their home. Even then, Reuven can't claim mekach tos. Why? Because even though now, here's what's interesting. So this is taking place in a locale where people normally hire someone to clean their home. So we'll say, so now, not only did Reuven not get a home that was batuk, but what is Reuven going to have to do now? What is he going to have to do now? Hire someone. So he's going to have to shell out extra money. Even then, he can't claim mekach tos. Why? Because we assume that people like to spend money on mitzvahs. So we'll say, it's quite an incredible idea. So therefore, again, as much as the chazaka is, oh, look at Rashi this moment. Ela filu ba'asra, dinehigi kol b'nei ir liskar botkin kol ish ish bebe. So tika hashta chisaron kia. So we'll say, remember again, even if it's in a locale where people pay for someone to clean their home. So now when Reuven walks into my home, the rental, and it's not baduk, he's going to have to shell out money. He still can't claim mekach tos, because we assume that halacha lemaaseh, people like to spend money on mitzvahs. And if Rashi goes on to say that if Reuven's claiming mekach tos, and I will say, what's really happening over here? If he claims mekach tos because now he has to hire someone to clean house for Pesach, what's really happening over here? Really, he's unhappy with something else about the home, and he's trying to get out of it. But he's trying to ultimately, again, get out of it by hinging it on the presence of chametz. Therefore, I will say, what comes out of it is really something really, really amazing. So what you have over here is this notion that although there is a chazaka, right? What does the chazaka say? The chazaka says that halacha lemaaseh, when you rent a home, you could assume that that home was checked for chametz. And I will say, what happens? So again, let's take a very simple case. I rent a house from Reuven. My vacation rental for Pesach. I go, I walk into them on the morning of the 14th. I have the right to assume that what? That what? The home was cleaned for Pesach. What happens if I can't get a hold of Reuven to ask him that question if it was cleaned? What could I assume? That it was clean. That's the chazaka. The chazaka says, whoever had the keys on the night of the 14th is chai for the bedika. Reuven's a frum guy. I assume he did the bedika. In this case now, I'm walking in and I see it's clear the home has not been cleaned for Pesach. So can I claim mekach tos based on that? And Abaye essentially answers, the answer is no. And I'm about to say, interesting enough, the answer is no, whether it's a locale where people clean themselves or if people hire. So where they clean themselves, Abaye says, can't claim mekach tos. Why? Because now, as much as I may be annoyed at Reuven, I have an opportunity to perform a mitzvah, and a person likes to perform a mitzvah. So, okay, I'm annoyed. I'm not going to say I'm not annoyed. But lemaisa, I have the opportunity for the performance of a mitzvah. But Abaye goes further. Even in a locale where it's normal to hire help to clean your home for Pesach, you still can't claim mekach tos, because necha le le'inish leme aved mitzvah b'mamoni. People like to perform mitzvahs with their money. Now, I will say, interestingly enough, normally that phrase is used in a different context. Necha le le'inish leme aved mitzvah b'mamoni is usually used in the following situation. What happens if I walk into shul? Right, I will say, let's say again, Reuven comes in, he's davening at the 9 o'clock minyan. I daven at the 7:15 minyan. I'm not here, but my tefillin are here. Reuven forgot his tefillin. Could he use my tefillin without asking me? Yes. The halacha is necha le le'inish le'aved mitzvah b'mamoni. Sure. Why wouldn't I want my property to be used for a mitzvah? Now again, you have to be careful how you use it. It was a 50-50. It's okay. So again, now you have to be careful how you use it. Obviously, again, that's going to be limited in scope. I can't go ahead and borrow your car without your permission because I need to get to shul, I need to get to shir. So svarim is a little bit different. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that svarim may be different because svarim, by definition, is an element of wear and tear. So it could be that people, Mishnah Berurah quotes an opinion that says people are a bit more makbid with the use of svarim, and they don't automatically just want people using their svarim. Although one could make the argument that today with our binding technology, nothing's going to happen if you go out and you use my Gemara. But again, fine. So we'll say, let's go back there. Incredible case. It's Tanan Hassam. So we'll say, now we're going to get, we mamish begin to get into like Hilchos Chametz. It's very, very exciting. So Gemara says, Tanan Hassam. Rabbi Meir, we'll say, by the way, just so you understand, what's the hashkafa of that? So again, Abai is using it in that people like to spend money on mitzvahs. The classic usage of it is that I'm happy when someone else uses my property for a mitzvah. Because at the end of the day, I recognize that what I own. We'll say, why do you have money in this world? Why do you have money? Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu give us money? He gives us money for a higher purpose. Obviously, he gives us money to enjoy it, to live a nice life. Those are all wonderful things. But those are byproducts of my money. What's the tachlis of my money? The tachlis of my money is Dvarim Shebik Dusha. So therefore, again, I have the opportunity to pay for Bedikas Chametz. Or again, my property has the ability to enable someone else's spiritual growth. Isn't that the entire tachlis of financial or material ownership in this world? An incredible idea. Tanan Hassam, I'll say, here we go. Tanan Hassam. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ochlin Kol Chametz Shesavar Tikashesh. Rabbi Meir says as follows. The halacha is, Hilchos Chametz. You can eat, we'll say, now, again, I just want to point out, this is actually not the primary place for this sugya. This is going to be Daf Yud Aleph in Pesachim, where Mamish can get into the halachas of chametz consumption Erev Pesach. Here you're going to see it's kind of just being brought in Derech Agav. So listen to this. Tanan Hossam, Rabbi Meir Omer, Ochlin Kol Chametz Shesarfim B'Tchila Shesh. Rabbi Meir says, you could eat chametz through the fifth hour, and you burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour of the day. Rabbi Huda Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba, B'Tolin Kol Chamesh, B'Sarfim B'Tchila Shesh. Rabbi Huda says, no, what we do is you could eat through the fourth hour. Tolin Rabosai means we suspend chametz, which means you don't eat it, but you could get benefit from it in the fifth hour, and then ultimately again we burn it at the beginning of the sixth. So we'll say that's how we paskin, right? That's why halacha lemaisa. Interestingly enough, we have this the time for final consumption of chametz is at the end of the fourth hour. But yet, fifth hour, chametz does not become asr ba'ana. Only sixth hour does chametz become asr, we burn it. The Gemara says, here we go. Dechuli alma miya chametz yishei shah salamayla asr. Shabbos say, here's what everybody agrees with. Everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa, chametz becomes asr midday on Erev Pesach. Right? That is what everyone agrees. Remember, the machlokes between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir is about fourth hour and fifth hour. But everyone agrees, comes hour number six, chametz is asr midoraisa. To which the Gemara says, Minalan, from where do we know this? Here we go. Amra bai trei kroi ksivi. There are two psukim. Ksiv. Shivas yamim shor lemazimatechan. So we'll say the pasuk says, for 7 days, chametz, or sa'ar means, you know, sourdough or yeast. So for 7 days, sa'ar should not be found in your home. Which I will say makes it sound like the isra chametz is for the entire 7 days. Uksiv, ach bayom arishon, tashbisu sa'ar mibatechem. So we'll say, but interestingly enough, the pasuk of ach bayom arishon, we'll say, if you were translating that pasuk, what does it refer to? What's the yom rishon? First day of Pesach. That's what it sounds like. On the first day of Pesach, you shall get rid of the chametz from your home. So we'll say, the first pasuk that says 7 days chametz shouldn't be in your home indicates to us that chametz is asr from the moment that Pesach begins. The second pasuk makes it sound like you can get rid of your chametz over the course of the first day of Pesach. So what's going on over here? Hakeitzad? Oh, the rabbis are boss of here. Because rabbis say, interesting enough, the Gemara says, ach ba yom arishon. Interesting enough, yom arishon is not a reference, is actually not a reference to the first day of Pesach. But in fact, Yom HaRishon, the first day, is actually a reference to Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, again, we'll see where we get that from in just a moment. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Rabbos, Arbos al Abir, comes to teach you that the 14th of Nisan, ultimately, again, is for Bir Chametz. I, the Eim al Rabbos, Leile Chamisha al Abir, but I don't say, maybe it comes to include the night of the 15th. And I was about to say, maybe the halacha is, you burn Chametz the first night of Pesach. Maybe that's what you should do. Because also you might have thought, since it says yamim, you can only get rid of chametz by day, but not at night. And maybe Rabbi will say, ultimately it comes to teach me that no, you can even get rid of chametz on the night of Pesach. Hahu lo itzricha. The Gemara says no. Top of hey, the ha iskish Rabbo say this is an incredibly important hekish. The iskish hashbasas sar lachilas chametz, because Rabbo saying the obligation to get rid of chametz. Excuse me. Yes, the obligation to go ahead and get rid of chametz is linked to the iser of chametz. And ultimately, again, the prohibition to eat chametz is linked to the obligation to eat matzah, which I will say tells you that from the moment there's an obligation to eat matzah, there's an iser achilas chametz. And once there's an iser achilas chametz, ultimately, again, chametz must have been destroyed by that point. So since by the night of Pesach, there's a chiyuv of achilas matzah, there's an iser of achilas chametz, and therefore, again, there is an obligation that chametz must have already been destroyed. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, you cannot suggest that the mitzvah of bir chametz takes place on the night of Pesach. So the Gemara says as follows, Hashbasa sa'ar l'achilas chametz. So where do we see the comparison between the destruction of chametz and the consumption or the prohibition to consume chametz? Tichsev, shivas yamim sa'ar lo yimatze bevateichem. Because the pasuk says, for 7 days, sa'ar, chametz, should not be found in your home. Ki kol ochel machmetzes v'nichrasa. Because also in the pasuk, because whoever eats chametz will be cut off, will suffer from kares. Shabbos says, therefore you see that there's a link over here between chametz consumption and the obligation to go ahead and get rid of chametz. Vachilas chametz achilas matzah. Shabbos says, what's the link between eating chametz and eating matzah? The chsev, kol machmetzes lo sochelu, b'chol moshoseichem tochlu matzah. So the pasuk says, you shall not eat chametz, but rather you shall eat matzah. So you see, there's the linkage between matzah consumption and prohibition to consume chametz. You see, be matzah, and the pasuk says, by matzah, ba'erev tochlu matzah. So Rabbos say, so here's what's happening. So Rabbos say, so interestingly enough, remember, this is our focus for this amid, which is everyone is agreeing that the Isra of chametz begins midday erev Pesach. That's what everybody agrees. Sixth hour, on the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, the prohibition of chametz consumption begins. We are trying to figure out, and I will say, we're going to see, by the way, there's a difference in the prohibition of consuming chametz from midday Erev Yomtiv until the start of Yomtiv, and then from Yomtiv and on, right? Consumption of chametz on Pesach is a chi of kares, but it's not going to be a chi of kares if you consume it on Erev Pesach. So we'll get into that. Like I said, it's going to be Daf Yud Aleph. But I will say, what we're trying to figure out is from where do we know that halacha lemaisa, the prohibition begins at midday on Erev Yomtiv. So the Gemara says, we learn after the Pasuk of Ach Bayom HaRishon, that the Yom HaRishon in the Pasuk, interestingly enough, is not referring to the first day of Pesach, but rather actually is referring to Erev Yomtiv. Unless you think that perhaps it could be referring to the first night of Pesach. Maybe you do bir chametz to the night of Pesach. To make a very long story short, essentially, once there is a chiyuv of achilas matzah, there is no longer any mitzvah bir chametz. Bir chametz must already be done. And since the obligation to eat matzah begins on the first night, therefore there's a prohibition of chametz. Once there's a prohibition of chametz, bir chametz must have already been done. Sa'ai says, ve'imol rabos lel yudad lebir. Maybe Rabbi will say this pasuk is coming to teach me that as of the night of Erev Pesach, I already go ahead and should destroy the chametz. And I was supposed to say, maybe Achim Rosh is coming to teach me that already the night of the 14th, I should do bir chametz. Biyom ksiv. It says bayom, which tells that the obligation to destroy chametz is during the day on Erev Pesach. I ve'ima mitzafra. So we'll say, how do you know it's midday? Maybe we'll say, maybe Achim Rosh teaches me that from the moment the sun comes up on Erev Pesach, then what? Chametz should be aser. To which the Gemara says, ach chilek. Rabbos, we have this concept throughout Shas, that the word ach is, it makes a division. So ach bayom harishon teaches me that for part of the first day, not referring to the first day of Pesach, but rather first day referring to Erev Pesach, for part of the day of Erev Pesach, halacha lemaisa, chametz will be aser, which teaches us that from midday or from the sixth hour and on Erev Pesach, chametz is aser midaoraisa. So far we are clear that chametz is going to be aser on Erev Pesach from 6 hours and on, from the sixth hour and on, based on the pasuk of Ach Bayom Harishon Tashbisu Sa'or Mibateichem. Good. Tibei Rabbi Shmuel Tano Matzini Yedal Shnei Karishin. So we'll say, interestingly enough, we find the 14th of we find the 14th, 14th of Nisan, that it's called Rishon, Shineemar, Barishon Ba'arba'asra Yom Lachodesh. Because we'll say the Gemara over here quotes the Pasuk, and the Pasuk is Barishon Ba'arba'asra Yom Lachodesh Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos. So you see again that, this is, we'll say, we have to take a step back. How do you know, right? Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk of Ach Ba'yom Harishon, Tashbisu Sa'armi Batechem. Barishon, the Pasha Taich, the Pasha translation of the Pasuk, what is Rishon referring to? First day of Pesach. The Gemara is interpreting it to mean that Rishon means no, Erev Pesach. To which Tana Devei Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, I want to tell you why. We find the 14th of Nisan referred to as Rishon. Quoting the Pasuk over here, Barishon Ba'arba'asra Yom L'Chodesh. Because it says on the first day, on the 14th day of the month. So you see that Erev Pesach is referred to as Rishon. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Rishon de Me'ikara Mashma. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, that's also because Rishon, Rav will say, sometimes can mean de Me'ikara. We'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Rishon de Me'ikara Mashma, Belav Rumya de Krai Adodi, Mashma Rishon ba Mashmos Tikra, Shuyom Kodem Lechol Shivas Tikra. So we'll say, listen to this. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is going to say like this. Rishon sometimes, Rabbi Osei, could actually refer to not the first day, but it could actually refer to the day before the first day. So the pasuk of Ach Bayom Harishon Tashbisu Se'armi Batechem could actually be translated as on the day before the first day of Pesach, you should rid your home from chametz. Rabbi Osei, where do you see that? That Rishon could mean the day before. So the Gemara says, "Da Amar Kra Harishon Adam Tivalid." So Rabbi says, "Pasuk in Iov, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Iov, were you born before Adam Harishon?" So Rabbi says, "So again, Harishon over here means were you born before? Right? Were you born before the first man? So you see, Rishon Rabbi says can mean sometimes not the first day, but the day before the first day." Elameato. But 1 second, we'll say, that's a very dangerous thing. So you're going to tell me then that every time the Torah says Rishon, Rishon doesn't mean the first day of Yom Tov, but Rishon means the day before the first day of Yom Tov? What about the Pasuk by Lulav and Esrig? The Pasuk says, you shall take for yourself on the first day. Speaking about Lulav, Esrig, Adasim, and Ravas, you're going to tell me, so what is it telling me? That the obligation for Dalet Min Rabbi Osei is when? Is going to be on Erev Yom Tov? Is that what you're saying? To which the Gemara says, "Shiny hasam dechsev usmachtim lifnei Hashem alokeichem shivas yamim." Both sides different because by Sukkis it says you shall rejoice before HaKadosh Baruch Hu 7 days. Mashvi ishvi lachag, just like the seventh day is a reference to the actual seventh day of the Yom Tov. Af Rishon Rishon lachag. So to again Rishon by Sukkis refers or by Dalet Minim, ultimately again refers to the first day. Tashbisu Shivas Yomim Masos Tochelu. I believe also you could say something by Pesach. Pesach also has a reference to the first day and the seventh day. So why don't you say, just like the seventh day refers to the seventh day, so too the first day refers to the first day. And maybe when the Torah says, Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu Mimateichem, literally is teaching me what? That when is the obligation of Bir Chametz? When? First day of Pesach. To which the Gemara says, Imkein Nichtov Kra Rishon. If that's the case, then by Chometz, let the Torah say Rishon. Harishon Lamali. I will say the Torah purposely uses an elongated form of the word Harishon, the first day, to teach you that the first day that is being referred to over here is not the first day of Yom Tov, but rather it is the first day before the first day of Yom Tov. What's the first day before the first day of Yom Tov? Erev Yom Tov, the 14th of Nisan. Shema Mino Lechida Amron. Sefer Rabbi Osei again, so the Gemara is kind of sticking to his guns over here, understanding that Ach Bayom Harishon, the Yom Harishon over here is not a reference to the first day of Yom Tov, but rather again as a reference to Erev Yom Tov. Why? Because we have this precedent that sometimes Rishon doesn't mean the first day of, but rather it means the day before the first day of. Ihachi Hasam Nami Harishon Lamali. But say if that's the case, then ultimately I can remember by Dalet Minim, right? By Lulav Esrog Hadassah Nervous, it also says Harishon. Right, it also uses that prolonged form. Visu hasam dechsev biyom harishon shabason ubayom hashmini shabason. So we'll say, again, by Sukkot, it's even more complicated. Because remember, again, what does it say by Sukkot? It says, Ubayom HaRishon, on the first day of Yom Tiv, and on the eighth day of Yom Tiv. So maybe it means, Eim HaRishon Demei Karamashma. So we'll say, maybe it means, again, that you should celebrate on Erev Yom Tiv and the day before the eighth day. Shaini Hasan Da Amakra Ubayom HaShmini Shabbason. We'll say, there it's different, because by Sukkot, it says the eighth day, which is reference to Shmini Atzeres. Mashmini, Shmini Dechag, just like the eighth day by Sukkot refers to the eighth day, Shmini Atzeres, Afrishon Rishon Dechag, so to again, the first day, as reference to Sukkot, is a reference to the first day. So the Gemara says, Ay, Harishon Namali. So we'll say, that's the case, then why does the Torah use the elongated form by Sukkot? See, we'll say, by Pesach, we just established, the Torah uses the phrase Harishon as opposed to Rishon. Why? Because the Harishon is one of the steps in helping us establish that the first day mentioned by Pesach, by destruction of Chametz, is not the first day of Pesach, but it's Erev Pesach. But by Sukkot, we're establishing that Rishon means the first day of Yom Tiv. So it means the first day of Yom Tiv. Why are you saying Harishon? Harishon Amali? Oh, Lemi'ute Cholo Shalmoed. Because the Rebbe said, coming to exclude Chalamayid. That whereas on the first day and on the eighth day, there is an Isra Malacha. One is not permitted to do Malacha. Harishon teaches me that the Isra Malacha is Dafka only on the first day and on the eighth day, but not on Chalamayit. Right? That the Sinai Basina, obviously Chalamayit does have limitations, but it doesn't have the Isra Malacha like you experience on Yom Tov itself. To which the Gemara says, Cholo Shamoed, maybe Rishon Shmini Nafka. But we'll say, ultimately, again, I could learn out the exclusion of Chalamayit without Harishon and Hashmini. That's just learned out from Rishon and Shmini. Because we'll say, you might have thought as follows, since the Torah says, Ubayom Hashmini, an elongated form, Vav Mosif al Inyan Rishon, Dafilu B'chol HaShemayim. So we'll say, maybe because it's an elongated form, that Yom Hashmini is also coming to include that there's an Isra Malacha on Chalamayit, Kamash Malon, no, that there is no Isra Malacha on Chalamayit itself. Let's just make this simple. V'lo lichta of Rachmana lo vav v'lo hey. So I'll say, so why don't we just get rid of both the vav and the hey? By Sukkot and just make it easy. Hasam dichsiv, the Gemara says, v'su hasam dichsiv, bayom harishon mikra kodesh yalachem, rishon demei karamashma. We'll say, furthermore again, we have another bayom harishon. So why don't we say ultimately again that this by Yom HaRishon, ultimately Yerbosa, which is by Pesach, why don't we say again that by Yom HaRishon also comes to mean Erev Yom Tiv? Ella, Rebosa, here we go. Elahani Shlosha Rishon Mibayle. Rebosa, these three Rishons. And I will say, now what, just so we're clear on the three Rishons, if you see Rashi, Bishar Gimel Rishon, we're skipping a little bit, we can look. Shvisa Tzaregel de Pesach, Ushvisa Tzaregel de Chag, Unetilas Lulav Shinik Rishon. So there are three Rishons over here. One Rishon is to teach me about the Isra Malacha on Pesach. The second Rishon is to teach you about the Isra Malacha on Sukkot. And the third Rishon, ultimately again, is the Rishon in reference to Dalad Minim, Lulav and Esrig. So the Gemara says these three Rishons serve a different purpose. What do they need? For L'chidetani Divei Rabbi Yishmael. Here I'm going to say a beautiful Gemara. Detani Divei Rabbi Yishmael. Bishar Shlosha Rishon. In the Zechus of the three Rishons, Zochu L'shlosha Rishon. Klal Yisrael merits three more Rishons. So we'll say in the Zechus of observing the Isra Malacha on Pesach, on Sukkot, and taking Lulav and Esrig, Klal Yisrael gets rewarded in three different ways. What are the three different ways? Here we go, Bosai. So the Gemara says, "V'schus shloshal shirishon zachal shloshal rishon lahachlis zaro shal isav lebinyan beis hamikdash ulishmo shal mashiach." Bosai in the zechus of not doing malacha on Pesach, which is rishon, Sukkot rishon, and taking dalad medium rishon, we get three rishons. What are the three rishons? Ultimately, again, to go ahead and eliminate isav, to rebuild the beis hamikdash. And the coming of Mashiach. So we'll say, we'll put this together in just a moment. Zaro shel Esav, dichsera, we'll say, lahachri zaro shel Esav. So where do you see that cutting off Esav, ultimately again as Rishon, vayetzi harishon admoni kulo kades kaderasiyah. Because we'll say the Pasuk, when it refers to Esav, says that Esav came out first, right? Fully filled with hair, right? Like kaderasiyah. Over the binyan beis hamikdash dichsiv, Kise kavan marom miroshem, mirishon makom mikdashenu. You see, the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as Rishon. Ulishmo shal Mashiach. And ultimately, again, for the literally the name of Mashiach, but it means the coming of Mashiach, the Siv, Rishon Litzion Hina Hanem. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara quotes that pasuk. Yeah, Rishon Litzion Hina Hina Bolushaim Mevaser Eitan. So we'll say, what's the pshat? So what's the pshat in the zechus, in the zechus of observing Pesach, Sukkis, and taking Dalet Minim, we are privileged to cut off Esav, to eliminate Esav, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and ultimately, again, to go ahead and get Mashiach. So we'll say, there's a beautiful Marsha. It's a beautiful Marsha. I'm going to send it out in the WhatsApp afterwards. But I'll just read to you, the Marsha says as follows. He goes ahead and explains what we'll say, that ultimately, again, just outside, he says, Ki Ashvisa BePesach. Remember again, Bo Nigalu Minam Mishabdim Osam. What happened on Pesach, Rabbi Osai? Pesach, we were redeemed from those who enslaved us. Mitzrayim. So in the schus of Pesach, we will overcome our future enemies as well. In the schus, so again, just like we overcame the Egyptians, in the schus of Pesach, ultimately again, we will overcome Esau. What was the second Rishon? In the schus of observing Sukkis, ultimately again, we get the Beis HaMikdash. This is the Marsha. The Beis HaMikdash is often referred to as a sukkah. As a sukkah, right? Ufro salenu sukkah shalom. So ultimately, again, in the zuchus of going ahead and building our sukkah, which was on a deeper level, you know, the Zohar writes that a sukkah is tzila dehemenusa. It's considered to be walking into the protective embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the zuchus of having emunah, to leave the structure of our homes and entering into the temporary domicile of the sukkah, because as we're entering into the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll be zohar meretzen to get the Beis HaMikdash, which is the most incredible physical manifestation of the divine embrace. And in the zuchus of Dalin Minim, ultimately, again, we go ahead and we get Mashiach. So he says over here, so with Kam Mitzas Lulav Shnema Bar Rishon, Ayyash Asimcha Ulakhtam Lachen Usmachten Yisku Lisimcha Li Asid Lava Bevo Mashiach. Rabosai, listen to how beautiful this is. The Dalin Minim, Rabosai, the taking of the Dalin Minim, are associated with the Simcha of Sukkis. How does Mashiach come, Rabosai? How does Mashiach come? Besimcha. If we learn to live Besimcha, and we learn to find the joy in life, and we learn to find the joy in our avodas Hashem, then Rabbi say ultimately Mashiach will come. How incredibly beautiful. In the zechus of properly observing Pesach and believing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has redeemed us from our enemies and will redeem us from our enemies, we will overcome Edom. In the zechus of properly observing Sukkah, maximizing the Sukkah experience, losing ourselves in the protective embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will have the Beis HaMikdash. And in the zechus of finding Simcha in mitzvahs, Rabbosai, because that's where Simcha comes from. You know, everyone is looking for joy. Everyone is looking for happiness. Simcha. Rabbosai, what's the great challenge of life? Often, we look for happiness in all the wrong places. We think that at the end of the day, so many things are going to bring us happiness. They might bring us a little bit of pleasure, but they don't bring us happiness. The only thing that real simcha comes from in life is avodas Hashem. That is the only thing that gives you simcha. And that's why the mitzvah of Dalet Minim ultimately, again, is associated with simcha. If we learn to find simcha in our Yiddishkeit, we learn to find simcha in our avodas Hashem, the reward for that is the ultimate simcha. The simcha of Mashiach. So we'll say the Gemara goes right. Incredible. Incredible. Rav Aaron Vehach. So we'll say back to the Gemara. Rav says from here. We'll say, again, we're focused on the same thing here. We're focused on trying to figure out ultimately how I know that the Isur Chametz goes ahead and begins on Erev Pesach. So Rava has a different interpretation. Lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. So we'll say another limud. So remember, first limud was Ach bayomar. Remember this. Remember, just remember these ideas. Ach bayomar yishom tashbisu sarmi batechem. That's step one. That's step one, right? Possibility number two. Rava says lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Literally translated, do not shecht, while the chametz is present, the blood of my offerings. How do we interpret that pasuk? Lo sishchat haPesach v'adayin chametz kayim. We'll say a very simple limud. The pasuk's teaching me, do not shecht the carbon Pesach while chametz is still present. Now, I will say, remember again, when can you shecht the carbon Pesach? As of? Right? Midday, Erev Yom Tov. Midday Erev Yom Tov. So therefore again, Rav is saying, the halacha is telling me, as soon as you can shecht the Karban Pesach, you cannot have chametz around. That's the halacha. Can't have chametz around when you shecht the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says, So maybe what it means is, look, maybe it's a subjective time. You know, so you just have to make sure that when you shech the Karban Pesach, you have no more chametz in your home. I have to make sure when I shech my Karban Pesach, there's no more chametz in my home. But maybe, again, it's not a hard and fast time at midday on Erev Yom Tov. To which the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, Zman Shechita Amrachmana. The Torah says, Zman Shechita. At the time when you could offer up the Karban Pesach, halacha lemaisa, you cannot go ahead and have chametz around. So we'll say this is another incredible limud. The Karban Pesach therefore can be offered as of midday and Erev Yom Tov. So from the moment that Karban Pesach can be offered, chametz cannot be present. So from here we learn that the Isser D'Oraisa of chametz begins when? Midday Erev Yom Tov. We'll say this is a much simpler limud. You know, the other limud, Ach Bayom HaRishon, required a lot of maneuvering, right? Rishon doesn't mean Rishon. Rishon means the day before Rishon. This seems to be much more straightforward. Time Nachar Baisa that supports this. Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisor Mivatechem. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, on the first day, you should remove Sar from your home. So the Gemara says, Me Erev Yom Tov. This refers to Erev Yom Tov, like we said before. Oh, Eina Elab Yom Tov Atzmo. Or maybe it means Yom Tov itself. Tamulomar Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. Lo Sishchat Esa Pesach Va'adayin Chametz. Kayim Divrei Rabbi Yishma. So we'll say, listen to this. According to this, we'll see, you see what the Rashi just did? This is very exciting, incredibly exciting. Let's say, what's going on over here today? Not much like, everybody got a little extra sleep. No, it's, come on, this is incredible. No, yeah, a little something. Let's say, remember again, what's incredible about this brisa, is this brisa is bringing both concepts together. Let's say, right, so the brisa quotes first, Ach Bayom HaRishon, and then says, Ach Bayom HaRishon means maybe first day of Pesach, or it means the night of Pesach. No. Lo Sishchat Al Chometz Dam Zivchi. You cannot have chametz around at the time that Karban Pesach can be offered. Karban Pesach can be offered already as of midday Erev Yom Tov, and therefore no chametz midday Erev Yom Tov. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Otzar. Rabbi Kiva says you don't even need that whole limud. Hari Omer, Ach Bayom HaRishon, Tashbisu Su'ami Batechem. We'll say, get ready for this. This is incredible. We'll say, I want to point out what the good news is over here. Well, the good news is we're learning Torah together. That's the best news in the world. The other good news, we'll say, is no one's arguing on the conclusion, right? I just want to be clear. Everyone is agreeing that you can't eat chametz after midday and Erev Pesach. So it's always nice when you have a machlokas like this. The conclusion is not in question. The shaila just says, what's the limud? What's the limud? How do you learn it out? So we'll listen to this. Rabbi Kiva says, you don't even need this whole limud. Watch this. It's incredible. In Otzarach, Hari Omer, Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisor Mivateichem. The Pasuk says, on the first day, you shall rid your home of all chametz. Uksiv, Kol Melacha Lo Sasu. We'll say, but the Torah also says that even on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do Melacha. Umatsinu La'avara Shi'av Melacha. And Rabbi says, kindling a fire is one of the prohibited malachas, even on Yom Tov. So Rabbi says, this is actually quite incredible. So Rabbi Akiva says like this, is incredible. Rabbi Akiva says, you have to burn chametz. Now Rabbi says, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to use a fire, but you're only allowed to use a fire for ochel nefesh purposes. Rabbi Akiva says, well, if I need a fire to burn chametz, and I can't kindle a fire on Yom Tov to burn chametz, that means the only time to burn chametz is when? Erev Yom Tov. What an incredible limud. He says, you guys are all making this way too complicated. The Torah says you have to burn chametz. You can't burn chametz on Yom Tov. You can't create a fire to burn chametz on Yom Tov. You can create a fire to cook. You can use a fire, but you can't create the fire. So therefore, again, if I have to burn chametz and I can't do it on Yom Tov, it must be that taloch is to do it on Erev Yom Tov. Rabbi Yossi Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yossi says, also you don't need it. Sorry, Omer. Ach Bayom HaRishon. Tashbisu so'ar mibateichem. So the Gemara says, me'erev Yom Tov. That means Erev Yom Tov. Oh, eina ela b'Yom Tov. Or maybe it means on Yom Tov itself. Talmud lomar ach chilek. Therefore, we'll say ultimately again, the word ach comes to go ahead and divide the day. I the b'Yom Tov atzma mishari. But 1 second, on Yom Tov itself, how could this be permitted? Ha iskish hashbasas or la'achilas chametz. Va'achilas chametz, achilas chametz. We'll say this is what we said on the top of the Amid. It can't be on the day of Pesach itself. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because remember again, the destruction of chametz is linked to achilas chametz, and achilas chametz is linked to achilas matzah, which working backwards means The moment that you have to eat matzah is the moment you can't eat chametz, and the moment you can't eat chametz is the moment your chametz must already be destroyed. So since, again, the obligation to go and eat matzah begins on Pesach night, therefore, Allah said the Isser chametz is there as well. Once the Isser chametz is there as well, that means chametz must already be destroyed by the first night of Pesach. Amar Rava. Rava says, Amar Rava says, this is incredible. Shmami mamid Rabbi Akiva class. We'll say from Rabbi Akiva's statement, we learn three things. Number one, Shmami na. Ein bir chametz al sif. Rabbi said this is going to be an incredible sugya daf yud beis. Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi says something amazing. The only way to dispose of your chametz for Pesach is through beer, is through burning. Because remember again, Rabbi Akiva said it is clear that the obligation to destroy chametz, the prohibition of chametz, begins on erev Pesach. Why? To Rabbi Akiva, because it can't begin on Yom Tov itself. Why can't it begin on Yom Tov? Why not, according to Rabbi Akiva? Because you can't create a fire to destroy chametz on Pesach. What's that? I could flush it down the toilet, right? I could throw it into the ocean. You see, from Rabbi said that according to Rabbi Akiva, there is only one way in which you are biblically permitted to destroy chametz, and that is beer. That is fire. So Rabbi said this is going to be the subject of incredible, overwhelming, seismic dispute. We're going to see this. It's a major achlokas that obviously has major nafkamina. So the Gemara says that's number one. Shabbi Akiva, we learn ein beer chametz al estreifa. Number two, ushramina. Havar lechalek yasas. I will say, furthermore, we learned something else. I will say, this is a discussion we saw in Masech Shabbos. The Torah, I will say, says you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. That's a blanket statement. The Torah then says, lo sevaru eish mecham moshe osech miyom haShabbos. Right? The Torah then singles out kindling of fire. So there's a whole machlokes why the Torah singles out fire. Is it lechalek yatsasa or lelav yatsasa? Is it to tell me that whereas everything else in the Torah ultimately, again, is punishable by, let's say, Isra Skila on Shabbos, maybe Havara is only a lav? Or no, is it coming to teach me? The Torah singles out Havara to teach Shabbos the following idea. Had the Torah just said, Ko malacha lo sasa on Shabbos, you could have interpreted that to mean the following. Even if you do multiple malachas on Shabbos, you're only going to be chayiv once. So what does the Torah do? The Torah singles out Havara to teach you that every single time you do multiple malachas, you're going to be what? Chayiv for each and every one. Just like Havara is singled out as a standalone malacha, so too every malacha has its own identity. And even if in one lapse you performed four different malachas, you'll be chayiv four different times. That's what it means. Havara lechalek yatsasa. Ushmamina. It's incredible. Lo amrinan hol v'hutra havara l'tzorech. What else do you see from Rabbi Akiva? This is just incredible. This is the concept, ultimately, again, of mitoch. This is the concept by Hilchos Yamtiv that once certain activities are permitted for ochel nefesh purposes, they become permitted even for some non-ochel nefesh purposes as well. You see that according to Rabbi Akiva, we don't say that once kindling was permitted for ochel nefesh, for food preparation, it becomes permitted for non-food preparation. I will say, what's the right? Because Rabbi Akiva does not allow you to kindle a fire for the sake of what? For the sake of what? Destroying your chametz. Therefore, Rabbi said, the Gemara just points out, Rava just says, three things learn out from Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Number one, only way to destroy chametz is through fire. Number two, Havara was singled out in order to go ahead and assign separate liability for each malacha. And number three, we don't say that once kindling is permitted for food preparation purposes on Yom Tov, it becomes permitted even for non-food preparation purposes. Good. Well, so here we go. Tana Rabbanan. Shiva. So we'll say, so therefore, that is the end of that sugya. That is the end of that sugya. So we'll say, so halacha lemaisa, what comes out of here is everyone agrees that the biblical prohibition of chametz begins midday Erev Pesach. We essentially have two different schools of thought that really become one through the Braisa. First school of thought, Ach Bayom Harishon Tashbisu Su'ar Mibateichem. There are two parts to that limud. Part one, Yom Rishon refers to Erev Yom Tov. And Ach comes to split Erev Yom Tov into two, right? Ach says part of the day is permitted, part of the day is prohibited. We'll say that's approach number one with all of the different limud that went into that. Approach number two is Lo Sochal, what was the pasuk? Lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Right? Literally, again, do not check the Karban Pesach when chametz is around. That teaches us that as soon as you can go ahead and check the Karban Pesach, Ultimately, again, there is an Isser Chametz. The Braisa combines both of those limudim to teach you, Rabbi said that the halacha is that the prohibition of Chametz goes ahead and begins at midday Erev Pesach. Now, Bosai, now in terms of the Machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, we'll have to see. So everybody agrees the biblical prohibition begins at midday. The shaila is what happens before midday. Does the prohibition of Achila begin earlier? So that I merit Hashem, we'll see. Good. Weiter. Says Gemara, we'll see. Now it's also great Gemara. Tan Rabbanon, quickly. Tan Rabbanon. Shivas Yom Shalom Maseh Batechas. Well, listen to this. For 7 days, Chametz should not be found in your home. So says the Gemara, Mat Hamud Lomar, what does this come to teach me? V'alokvar Ne'amar Lo Yiro Elecha Sa'ar. So we'll say, listen to this. B'chol Gvulecha. So we'll say, here we go. So when it comes to Chametz, Rabbi Osai, there are two different prohibitions mentioned. There's the prohibition of Bal Yiro'eh, Bal Yimotzeh, which literally means you can't see Chametz and you can't find Chametz within your domain. So what the Gemara is asking is, why do I need both, right? The Pasuk already tells me, Shivas Yomim Se'or Lo Yimotzeh Bevaseichem. Right, for 7 days, you shall not, right, Se'or Chametz shall not be found in your home. But the Pasuk already says, Lo Yiro'e Lecha Se'or. The Pasuk already says, Lo Yiro'e Lecha Se'or B'chol Gvulecha. Se'or should not be seen in all of your boundaries. So we'll say, take note of the difference in the wording. Pasuk number one says, for 7 days, Se'or Chametz should not be found in your home. Pasuk number two says, for 7 days, Se'or should not be seen in your boundaries. So says the Gemara, Lo yira lecha Se'or, because the first pasuk says, or second pasuk, excuse me, Se'or should not be seen to you. Shecho yatara, so we'll say that teaches me as follows. That Allah Khalamaisa, Rabbi said, the Isr Chametz on Pesach is for me to see my own Chametz. Shalcha yatara, aval atara shalachir mishal gavoah. But Rabbi said, this is actually very interesting. The Allah on Pesach, Rabbi said, is that the only prohibition of Chametz is Chametz you own. In other words, Halacha Lamaisa, I can't see, so to speak, my Chametz that I own. But if Chametz belongs to someone else, or for that matter, Chametz belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, I don't violate anything by quote-unquote seeing that Chametz or even having that Chametz in my property. So the Gemara says, Yochol Yatmin, the Kabo Pikdonos Min Anachri. So you might have thought that maybe you could store Chametz, right? Or receive a Pikadon. Right? Pikadon means a guarantee from Anachri. In other words, we'll say, so you might have thought that Allah Chalamaisa, maybe I can go ahead and store someone else's Chametz. Now, we'll say, now remember, Yatmin means store. Pikdonos means a guarantee, which means these are items over which I have achrayus, I have responsibility. Talmud Lomar, lo yimotzeh. Therefore, the pasuk says lo yimotzeh. So lo yimotzeh means that even if I don't out and out own the chametz, but what? I have responsibility for the chametz. That's problematic as well. So for example, if I lent, Joe the Nachri $1,000 and he gave me, his 120-year-old bottle of scotch, and that's the guarantee for the loan. Scotch is not the best day because it's Chametz Nuksha. But again, Halacha Lamaisa, even though, again, I don't own that, but because I have responsibility for that, that's problematic on Pesach. So the Gemara, so we'll say, by the way, this gets into a whole discussion about owning stock in certain companies as well. Chametz, again, we're going to see all of these sugyas. So the Gemara says, "Inli ela benachri shloki bashto vein sharim chabechotzer." So I don't know if this applies to a nachri, to a non-Jew. But we'll say shloki bashto literally means that I'm not captured. Now, what that means is a nachri who is not under my dominion and who does not live with me. The Gemara says, "Nachri shekibashto v'sharim chabechotzer." And I will say, how do I know that this also applies to a nachri who is under my dominion or who lives with me? Now, Bosa, the Gemara is going to ask, it should be just the opposite. In other words, it's much more obvious that I could violate the prohibition for a Nachri who lives with me or who is subservient to me. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss this. Talmud Lomar, lo yimotzeh bevaseichem. Therefore, the Pasuk says, lo yimotzeh should not be found in your home. Ein li ela shebevaseichem. So, Bosa, I only know that there's a problem with Chametz in my home. Beboros, besichem, ma'aros, minay. Bosa, how do I know that even if the Chametz is not in my home, but the Chametz is elsewhere on my property? For example, the Chametz is in a pit, in a cistern, in a well. How do I know that's problematic? Talmud Lomar, b'chol gvulecha. Therefore, the Torah says you can't have Chametz in any of your boundaries. I, va'adayin ani omer, But still, I could say, if the chametz is in my home, I could say that I'm over on a bal yira and bal yimotzeh and going ahead and taking and storing things or accepting guarantorships, big vulin. But maybe again, I could say if the chametz is not in my home itself, but rather it's in my boundaries. Shalcha yataroa. So here's what I know. I know that in my home, I'm only in violation if I have some level of ownership or responsibility for the chametz. What happens if the chametz is not in my home, but the chametz ultimately, again, is somewhere in my boundaries? Somewhere in my boundaries. How do I know that halacha lemaisa, again, I'm only responsible if I own it? But if I don't own the chametz, chametz belongs to someone else, or chametz belongs to the Beis Hamikdash, I'm not responsible. So the Gemara says, "Minayin liten es ha'amr shazeh bazeh v'shazeh bazeh tamud lomar sa'or sa'or l'gzeir shava." So Rabbi Bosai, sa'or sa'or comes to teach me the connection between ba'yira and ba'yimotze. So also remember again, halacha lemaisa, what's coming out is here is as follows. Remember, there are two different psukim. The first pasuk says, "Lo yimotze sa'or lo yimotze v'atechem." Right, you can't have sa'or in your home. The second pasuk says, so bal yimotzei is mentioned in conjunction with the home. Bal yiroeh is mentioned in conjunction with your boundaries. Sa'ar, sa'ar is the word that links both of those psukim to essentially create one harmonious principle. Now, we'll say, what's the harmonious principle? That halacha l'maaseh, the only time you're chayiv for chametz on Pesach is when? Is when? When you own it. But if you don't own it, let's say it differently. When you own it, or what? You have responsibility for it. But as long as you don't own it, or you don't have responsibility for it, whether that chametz is in your home, or whether that chametz ultimately, again, is in your boundaries, it is not going to be problematic. So the Gemara goes right there. It says Sa'ar by a home, Sa'ar le'imotzei b'vaseichem, v'ne'emar Sa'ar b'gvulin, and it says Sa'ar by boundaries, lo'ira l'cha Sa'ar, mas Sa'ar ha'omer b'batim over mishum b'ira b'imotzei b'yatim b'yikam p'ktronos min anachri. Just like Sa'ar in your home, you're only chayev if you own it, or if you have responsibility for it. Af Sa'ar ha'omer b'gvulin, over mishum b'ira b'imotzei b'yatim b'yikam p'ktronos, After ha'omer b'gvulin, so to chametz that's mentioned in your boundaries, you are only over on Bayera when, or Bayat by Gam Magdonus and Anachri. Ultimately, again, you're only chayiv if you have some level of ownership or responsibility. One more line. Mas Sa'ar, Ha'omer Bigvulin, Shalcho Yataroa, Aval Atoroa Shalachirim, Vishal Gavoa, Af Sa'ar Ha'omer Bebatim, Shalcho Yataroa, Aval Atoroa Shalachirim, Vishal Gavoa. So therefore, I will say, Halacha Lemaisa, what comes out is as follows. Halacha Lemaisa, the Gemara, we're going to discuss why the Torah needs two psukim, because that's still not totally clear. But what I know right now is I have two psukim. Pasuk number one is lo yira'e lecha sa'ar. So pasuk number one is, lo yira'e lecha chametz. For lo yira'e lecha sa'ar b'chol gvulecha. So pasuk number one is, chametz should not be seen in your boundaries. And pasuk number two is, shiva asem yisrael lo yimotzei bivateichem. So what we'll say, what we call Bayira'e Bayimotzeh. Bayimotzeh is mentioned by homes. Bayira'e is mentioned ultimately again by Gvulun, by boundaries. Sa'ar Sa'ar is the word that links the two psukim to create one harmonious principle. What's the one harmonious principle? Halacha lemaisa, you are not allowed to own chametz on Pesach. You are not allowed to have responsibility for chametz on Pesach. That is true whether that chametz is situated in your home. That is true whether that chametz is situated in your gvulin. Responsibility could mean you own it. Responsibility could mean you have it as a guarantorship. But halacha lemaisa, if you have no ownership, no responsibility, then there is no liability for seeing someone else's chametz. Even if that chametz is situated in your home or in your boundaries. Whether that's the chametz of a Gentile, whether that's the chametz of the Beis HaMikdash. So I'll say, even if the chametz sits on your property, in your gvul, or sits in your home, if it's not yours, you are not responsible for it. Alright, I'll say, we'll stop over here. I'll just tell you one quick... Oh, actually, we'll stop over here. It's 9 o'clock already. We'll continue here tomorrow.